Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 51 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined here by Tyler Baker, and back from his vanishing act, his magic act,
Joe Amato. MIA, Joe Amato is back from the prisoner camps of Vietnam.
Yeah, Chuck Norris found him.
Yeah, there you go. I'm back. One quick question. Have we stayed pretty consistent with doing Beyond Retro one episode per week? Have we missed or have we caught up? I'm just trying to get a train of thought here because we're on episode 51. But
I think
we missed one week.
I think there have been times where we have, but we've caught up with that with other times where we've done multiple episodes on like weekdays just to add more content for the week.
Okay, because I was just, well, basically I was getting to next week will be 50, you know, episode 52. So that'd be 1 year straight of Beyond Retro.
Holy hell.
Yeah, I was like, man, maybe we'd have to do something special. I don't know if there's something to where we'd see if fans want to get involved with, you know, Beyond Retro, almost like how we had fans getting involved with Fans of Power, or I don't know, just a thought, because I was like, yeah, 52 weeks, that's pretty good.
One whole year of Beyond Retro, and I wasn't there for that first episode, Sidekicks. I need to go back.
Yeah, I wonder what would, yeah, I guess... I'm not opposed to doing a fan, you know, inspired episode. I guess if we want to have more fan participation or something like that, we can use Joe's publicity powers to bring in the masses.
The masses, know? Yeah,
yeah. I'm game for that, or is that what you guys want to do?
I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I know within the chat room here, and also, like you said, posting on Facebook, there's a way to involve fans. Well, so, you know, just thinking, well, hell, I'd like it if we could involve them somehow. Because, like you said, I know that we don't get usually as much participation during the live chat for this as we do for the other ones. But, you know, hopefully it grows, because I was like, God, I can't believe it's been a year. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. You know, time really does fly by.
Yeah, God, it was just yesterday. When we did the Sidekicks episode, and then we did the Gimmicks. Was that the second episode?
The second episode was the
Nickelodeon game shows.
Yes. God, I was so fucking nervous. And then I was nervous every time for like the next 10 episodes, and eventually it just sort of wore off. God. I'm sure Joe's gone back and watched them, and like there are times when I would do the intro, I'm just like, damn, like that was just, I could just think back to, oh God, I was so nervous. I was sitting there, had ass sweat, and I'm just kind of like fidgeting around. I'm like, I don't want to fuck this up. Joe's going to kick me off the show.
Oh God, no way. No, I thought you did great from the start. I never thought you had an issue with anything from doing the show.
No, if there was ever a problem in the podcast, Joe's always come to me in confidence about certain stuff, but there's never once where Joe was like, this is not my kind of guy. Like it never happened, Nathan. So.
Yeah, Nathan, you've been good from the start. And hello to Andre in the chat room, who has joined us as well. And, well, before we start off with anything, I wanted to show what my cousin got me from last week helping. We're the Savage World Horror figures. And he was able, thank goodness, to get there was just Jason. And we got the crazy little spine on his back, too, and everything. I thought it was really cool in detail. And also Freddy, and he comes with a big removable claw, and he's got a hood, and his just back is burned to piss, and... Yeah, this is something, like I said, I have all confidence that if these things would ever fall, I don't even have to worry about them breaking, because the greatest thing about these is, you know, like they have those sockets to where the legs can pop on and off, but just such strong-ass, damn durable figures, and, you know, like the crazy little kind of like fantasy bone machete they did with Jason's machete, and they gave him an axe that is like a bone with blade. The thing that some people were getting confused with is a lot of people said, why don't they just make vintage-style horror figures? Why do they have to have this fantasy theme? But that's the thing. It's their twist. It's like almost an homage, if you will, to the fantasy theme of, well, you know, Masters of the Universe in a way. But it's a fantasy twist, and I like it. I like having something that, sure, would have been great to have just 5.5-inch Jason and Michael and Freddy. Yeah, but I like it that it's different, you know, because you definitely don't get this in the other, you know, 6-inch forms and all the other ones that have been released. So it makes it stand out and look a little more unique and special. Love these things.
Yeah, I'm kind of pissed off because I pre-ordered them from Amazon and I get a notification. It's like, we need your approval, but you got to go on the desktop and do it. Okay. So I check it out because all five of them were supposed to be here on Friday. And I guess the demand was just there because I think it's Michael and Leatherface are showing up like the 25th or something. Pinhead will be here on the 26th. And then, of course, Freddy and Jason, it gave me like just the broadest. It's like October 13th, sometime between that and November something. I'm just like, oh, jeez. Yeah. So I'll have them eventually. I'm just going to wait it out. But, you know, maybe I will hit up some GameStops and see if any of them have them. And if they do, I can go ahead and maybe cancel a couple of them. But
we got three of them in this area. They got to have them.
I was excited to have all of them and find a place to put them this weekend. And
I find that kind of bizarre, though. I mean, why would they break up the shipment if they had all five that were going to ship at the same time? And you're saying
I don't know. I don't know. I guess that just the demand was there. A lot of people pre-ordered them. I kind of worry the same thing's going to happen with the Thundercat line because I pre-ordered those as well. And those are all together, and it's saying like October 16th. But
I ordered mine from a bad toy store. So yeah. Hopefully, maybe it's just an Amazon thing. You know,
it probably is. I was just looking into the fact that I have Prime sort of just cut out all the shipping costs altogether. Yeah. But I guess it's going to bite me in the ass. I don't know. It's a bummer.
No, it is. I mean, I guess it is. Especially like I said, you ordered, you figured you would have had, I don't know if you want to say preferential treatment, that you should get them first, you know. But yeah, because now, like you said, they've been popping up at GameStops and everything. And as quick as they go there, they're gone. Yeah. We were lucky. The day we went right after doing everything we had to do, walked in there, was like, no way those are both sitting there. And then I asked that person that worked, I said, did you have all five of these? And they said, nope, we just got Freddy and Jason. That's it.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I got the last two. But yeah, you'll like them. I still can't believe how they can get out this quality for such a price, from $9 to $14, depending on where you go. It's, like I said, they're all different sculpts. I mean, you could say, yes, maybe parts of the leg could be the same, but they went and they did new sculpt into each. So that means they have to mold and cast everything. So I just don't know how they can do such a cheap price for such a sturdy quality figure. And it's so damn durable, and the paints don't suck at all. It's the best paints I've seen. It's bizarre.
Does make you question how much these companies are really jacking up the prices and claiming it's due to, you know, we got to do this, we got to get the paint, we got to get this, and got to get that. And if they're managing to sell these toys at GameStop for $10 a piece, like, okay, what are we not being told here? You know, if you're going to sell quality toys at this price, the next is coming Thundercats and then Conan, what, you know, people are going to start seeing they're doing really well at that price point. And you know, you're going to start to question the whole system of adult collecting anymore. If they can get away with charging $10 for quality kick-ass figures, you're going to start looking at all these other people like, I ain't buying your toy for $20-$30. You can go to hell.
No, it does. It makes you wonder. Plus the nostalgia factor. So many people just love this kind of look and buck and design. And, you know, back then in the 80s, remember, Masters of the Universe, of course, started it, but then it spawned so many other things from Remco, from all their fantasy lines to wrestlers and anything you can imagine. And it's like this came back. It's a nostalgia factor. And like I said, I could see them just doing tons of things from the 80s and 90s in this style. And damn it, it's cool. It really is. Wonder what
it
a G.I. Joe
would be like.
You guys, you know, you were doing G.I. Joe earlier talking about that. I'd even wonder, what was some cool-ass G.I. Joe seeing Cobra Commander and Duke? And
oh, Sarah? God, I love that. If Hasbro was to put out He-Man style G.I. Joes, I'd buy every damn one of them. I mean, Cobra Commander, Snake Eye, Storm Shadow, Destro, the Dreadnoks, Zartan, got all of them, every one of them. Yeah,
I'm sure like this will probably open the floodgates. It'll become like the Pops, you know, they will start doing those in every conceivable thing. And some of the stuff I would just be like, why is this getting made?
But then I'm like, I don't want to see Game of Thrones figures or doing L.A. Law action figures in the He-Man style or something like
LA,
that.
L.A. Law Funko Pops. Those come out, it's over.
Well, just because they do pops of everything, like you don't need a pop of every damn thing, you know, so it just kind of feels like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Jake and the Fat Man, Funko Pops.
Yeah. If Funko Pops to that, and then they started
designing Funko women, again. Funko Pops, Murphy Brown, Funko Pops.
Give it time. I'm sure we'll have our first Candace Cameron, you know,
Funko Pop. If they haven't already, and we're just unaware.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, speaking of Jake and the Fat Man, we have Jake Juggalo in the chat room. Giannis. And now it's going to be, hey, Jake, wait a second. Jake, I ain't calling you fat. He said Jake
You don't have to worry about that because Jake and the Fat Man. So it's just saying this Jake Juggalo is Jake, and then I'm sure maybe he's got a Fat Man that he hangs out with, you know, or something.
He possibly could. And we have Giannis, and we have Tamara Shipper as well. So thank you guys for joining us as well.
I can't remember if Giannis shared it, but I had him put together the Joe Amato Ernest collection. I need to share that with Joe. I don't know if he posted.
He said, okay. Yeah, that was pretty good. I got a kick out of that, Giannis. That was pretty cool. I liked it.
I still think Joe's face would work on a lot of movie posters. Like it really, I just thought it was perfect for those Ernest movie posters on that collection. I still think that Joe's face would work on.
Oh, he's doing it again. He's going to look at his collection. He's like, he had an idea in his head, and now he's like, maybe I didn't.
No. I'm pretty sure, but it can't just be anything because that's the point of what I don't want our stuff to be just like what everyone else can do.
I think Under Siege would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe's face on the both Under Siege covers, like the movie poster for the first one, and then Steven Seagal on the side of the train put Joe Amato's face on there. Yeah.
There you go. The Naked Gun had me work. Leslie Nielsen's right there on the cover with the gun. How he's standing out. What's he standing on? The gun or a bullet on that Naked Gun cover?
A bullet, yeah.
Remember. Yeah, a bullet. Yep,
yeah, on the first one. And then on the second one, he's on a bullet with Priscilla Presley. Yeah. The Naked Amato. Yeah.
See,
it was so much fun to be had with this.
Yep. See, now Jake's calling me fat. He's like, you just call me fat. And then he just said, Joe, you also have a pretty round belly. So, see, look what I started.
We're getting into the politically correct territory. Now everyone's offended now. We're going to have to issue public apologies and official statements and all that other bullshit. And, you know, we ain't having it here in this Thunderdome.
That might be it. That might be why you only see me usually from the chest up because I have a gigantic gut and I don't want to show it. And then when I go off camera, everyone knows how I kind of swoop like that. You can't see me from under my chest. Don't want that to be seen.
So I feel that to be hard because Joe only eats chicken.
Yeah, I only eat chicken and
burritos.
No, and you know what's weird is, I mean, pretty much it's just chicken and fish. And once in a while, you know, as much as I talk about burgers, when I talk about a burger, it's usually a chicken sandwich. I don't know why I still call it a burger. You know, is that weird? Do they call a fucking chicken sandwich a burger or they just call it a chicken sandwich?
I always think it's just chicken sandwich.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, I guess I really don't eat as many burgers as I say, even though I talk about that dollar menu with the double. That might be, Jesus, once every couple weeks, but I don't eat much.
I'm going to ask you this. Are you a fan of the fish filet from McDonald's? I've never
had it. My mom was a big fan of that.
I just don't like fish sticks are fine, but most other fishy things are just like the taste of it's just too much for me.
The filet of fish, I don't know. One time I kind of liked, but then it seemed like their prices got too high. And then I seen Arby's would do a giant fish sandwich for like the same price, if not cheaper. And it felt like you're getting a real filet instead of just a lot of just processed fish into a patty or something. So
or batter.
Something. It's like, ugh. So, yeah. Oh, God. All right. We won't talk about that now. So now how about for Rocky?
Yeah. Easily. I'm just throwing this out here now. Rocky IV is my favorite of all of them. I don't know if you guys would agree with that, and that's not to take away from 1, 2, and 3 and Balboa. Notice how 5 is not even mentioned at all, because 5 is garbage, but part 4 is my favorite of all of them.
You know, for me, just
they're all great.
They are, as much as we watch them in this house and still do. I honestly, from 1, 2, 3, and 4... I really can't pick a favorite because they all have such great epic moments. I feel like I'm just watching one gigantic movie. You know, they feel like they just all go so well together. And like you said, I don't acknowledge 5. It's a piece of shit. But all the other 4, I really don't have a favorite because I love moments in all of them. Some that get me so pumped into cheering. Some that had me cry. Like, I can say it. I admit that there's movies that had me cry. And damn it, if it wasn't some of these Rockies, and I hate when those parts come up because I don't like to do it. I hate seeing when some of the shit happens, which of course one was in this movie, but yeah, I love all 4. I can't really pick a favorite, to be honest.
Tyler, Rocky 2. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never heard anybody else. I heard one film enthusiast on Dan Levitard say that was his favorite of the series too, and you know, I think it's it goes under the radar. People mention 3 and 4 a lot for the pop culture popularity of those two films. In the first, everyone tries his 5. You know, Rocky Balboa was like, yeah, it's good. But 2, I feel like is heavily, heavily overlooked in terms of when people talk Rocky.
It's weird. At least around in my circles of family and friends, I've never seen somebody ever overlook 2, because usually that is the one that they speak of the most, is the second one, because that's the redemption fight. And that's the one where he, you know, actually wins, you know, and that whole damn dramatic moment of that count, of that 10 count. Oh, my God. You know, it's weird, and I know you've probably done the same thing. You watch it, and when that referee's doing that 10, you're still saying, get up, get up. You know, it's like, I know he's going to get up. I've seen this 100 times.
I cry every time I watch the fight. It doesn't matter. Like, there's been times where I'm sitting there like, I wonder if I'm going to cry. And sure enough, like, my eyes start tearing up. I'm like, oh, God. You know, yo, Adrian, I did it. I'm like, oh, I know you did, Rock. You know, just it just, but it gets me pumped. It makes me want to go work out when I watch Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4. I want to go lift weights, because it's they're heavily motivated training montages. The fights, they got great music by Bill Conti and Vince DiCola in Rocky 4. So they make you want to go out and kick some ass and go train and you know, do dragon flags, which Rocky does in this film. Which they're not easy to do. You know, there's some hard exercises to do, and it's, you know, it's they're fun to do, but they're God, I got nowhere to go with that. Other than that, they're just really hard exercises to do. So, but yeah, Rocky 2 is my favorite. I think the story is just not as appreciated. You know, I think people just kind of
I'm sure. Weird. I mean, who? I mean, is this some of your?
I'm not saying, because you know, I think overall when people talk Rocky movies, when they're referenced in popular culture, people talk about the movies and retrospects and things like that. I just kind of feel like they go to 3 because of Mr. T and Hulk Hogan. They go to 4 because of Ivan Drago and Apollo Dime. The first one because it's an Oscar nominated Oscar winner. You know, highly praised film, you know, critically acclaimed. But 2 just kind of feels like it's there. I don't hear people knock it, but I just don't hear people refer to the film or talk about the film. You know, when you hear a general conversation about Rocky, I'm just saying that it's, from my experience, when I see people talk about this film, yeah. But everyone universally trashes 5, but I'm sure there's some prick that's like, well, you know what, Gus? I think 5 is the best in the series, and here's why. And you know, that's the worst of the series. Slam his head into the wall.
Yeah, because like you said, every one of the Rocky movies has that, you know, like you said, it's that, not redemption, but that factor of where something happens. It's like, okay, now he's going to get their fucking ass. Now you can't wait. You can't wait to see him training, come back, and beat the piss out of somebody. But part 5, it was just annoying from the beginning to the end. It was like, oh, so now he's going to have this little grudge match with fucking, you know, Tommy Gunn in the street. Is like, it sucked. I was like, I hate 5. There's nothing redeeming. But again, like you said, maybe some people find some redeeming factor, but woo, I couldn't see it.
No, I don't see that. And I'm sure they're only because, hey, if there's a fan like me who likes Jaws of Revenge and Howard the Duck, I'm sure there is probably someone out there who likes, you know, Rocky 5. Not saying that it's like the best of the series, because there's no way in hell you're going to get anyone to believe that. Ooh. I can buy anybody having their personal favorite of the Rocky series, because I feel like all of them have a little something different to offer in each film, you know, depending on what you're going for. It's a great series of film, and I hate it when people want to kind of poke fun at the series, except in Spaceballs, you know, Rocky 5000, you know. I mean, that's a fun, you know, jab, but, you know, who'd have thought a franchise would have been built off of, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity boxer turns into a franchise like it has, with, you know, figures and video games and pop culture references.
And not only that, but to sort of branch off and sort of spin off from that and sort of bring it back now with Creed, which I'm really excited to see Creed 2. I'm really pumped to see it.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because it ties to this film as well.
Yeah. Other than seeing the first trailer, I don't know if I will watch anything else, because I don't want anything to be spoiled for that. I want to go into that one as fresh as possible. And not like The Predator, which you and I didn't go see this weekend because I were probably better off not, because I read some more things about it, just went ahead and dug into the spoilers, and I was just like, oh no, why, please, just no more.
All right, now I'm saying something. If Nathan is coming out, because Nathan is kind of like Joe in some regards, where he's a little bit more reserved and not as, you know, where I'm just like, I want blood, you know, for these mistakes. You know, I'm like a drunk Johnny Ringo, you know. But if he's saying that, that's saying something. Because I didn't read the spoilers or anything, because I just, like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I think the audience is pretty bad. I think the audience is kind of agreeing. I've seen some people post some stuff in forums. They're just like, no, it's not good. I'm like, yeah. Good.
I haven't read any reviews, but that's one movie where I have watched the previews because I don't care. It's like, I love the first Predator. I love Predator 2. But then when the other stuff started coming out, it's like something didn't gel. And especially when they did Predators or whatever, I was like, this just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I looked at the previews of this. And again, I might be wrong. I can't tell. But there's like a scene where they show one of the Predators look and he does this crazy yell. And for me, it looks like it's special effects. And I'm like, oh, is that special effects? It looks fucking horrible. Something just can be said about the just original effects of the Predator from 1 and 2. It looks real, and it is. It's not special effects. But did you guys see the stupid preview where he screams? Something looks just fucking annoying to me.
Yeah. God, big CG hulking Predator monster.
Yeah, awesome. Where he's, you know, acting all, oh, I'm so tough and alpha by my shitty movements. And, oh, look at all the jokes. Man, you all should be rated E for everyone. Oh man, what witty humor they've inserted in this piece of shit.
It doesn't look good, and I bet you it won't do good at the theaters. I have no clue how it's going.
I hope it flops, because it's just like, look, you guys can't go down this road with Predator, you know. And if it succeeds, Black was like, I want Arnold to come back for the next one. I don't want Arnold coming back for another lame ass black humor inserted, you know, Predator film. You know, I just assume stop making them. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all.
All right, here we go.
God.
I went to Box Office Mojo. The Predator was number one at the box office, but here's the headline.
What competition do they have?
Well, they didn't really. The Predator is number one with soft $24 million. So, that's a pretty weak
opening. Yeah, because usually compare it to like whatever the budget. I bet you that it had a high budget of probably close to $100 million. So if it don't make that, then I know it's considered a flop. Usually when they have those big budget movies, they want it to make what, at least five times the amount to cover the advertising and all the other shit. So do you know how much it cost? Or
well, all right, yeah, I'm looking that up now. $88 million. To put this into perspective here, the budget for the first Predator film was only 15. So and that's, you factor in inflation, obviously it would be a little bit higher in today's money, but still huge difference in what was spent on these, and look what that film did compared to.
However, though, it's been stated that the first Predator lost more than its original cost, even though the film, you know, is still popular, continues to be purchased and repurchased over and over again, and merchandise and things like that.
It lost
more than its original cost, and that's coming from the mouth of John McTiernan himself.
No kidding! Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to understand, because I have always had a hard time wrapping around how the hell does that happen? Because it was number one, it came out, it was popular on home video. I'm sure if I were to had the good fortune to sit down with John McTiernan or some of the executive producers on the film or something, they could probably explain it a little bit better. But
bust open that door and just be like, hey, I am also an associate producer. I want answers.
Yeah. He's like, well, sure, kid, sit on down here, you know, and pull up a chair. You're just in time here. But I hope it flops, because I don't want Fox to think that that's the way they need to go with Predator films. You know, I'm like, I don't give a damn if Shane Black's directing it. I'm not impressed with what he's done so far directorially. Like, he's done okay with his work, but nothing that says, well, just because he was in the first Predator doesn't mean he's going to do a great Predator.
Bang Bang and Nice Guys were fun. Iron Man 3, not good, but, you know, whatever.
But I just felt like that's not enough, you know. And I felt like if Arnold was approached to be in this one and turned it down, I just, plus the trailers alone, they're selling you on something that's like, that's not what I don't think Predator fans want to see from, not just me, but, you know, I look at feedback sometimes, and most of the responses to the trailers coming out were all negative. Yeah. Like, they didn't like the jokes. They didn't like the look of the Predator, how they're just, and, you know, inserting hip-hop music in a Predator trailer.
No, yeah. I hate that. What you just said there is sometimes people think that just when they see a character, whether it's a horror character like Jason, Michael, or something, or these characters behind masks, they think that certain motions, I'm doing this character. It's like, you're really not, though. You know, like for the Predator, he's like over the top screaming, like, that's not the Predator. And then sometimes you get these people trying to act like Jason or Michael being real stiff or weird. It's like, you guys just don't get the motions of these characters. You know, I know, like, you know, it's just,
That's what we harped on last week on our Predator 2 discussion. And it goes the same with how Kane Hodder portrayed Jason and Robert Englund as Freddy. Like, it ain't just putting a guy in an outfit. There is a certain, you know, persona and mannerism that these characters, like, we you know, if you point it out to people, they'll notice it. But they're buying into it because the performance is so good. But if you break it down, if you look at what they're doing right, that's why you find it enjoyable.
But if I noticed it from the beginning. No, you're right. From the beginning, the first time I seen Kane Hodder as Jason, you know, not knowing who this man is, but I remember that portrayal of Jason in The New Blood was just something about it was so memorable. I was like, God, it's like how he stands, he breathes, he moves, the ways he turns his head. And like, he even talked about that later. Like, I seen Kane Hodder talking about how he says he like turn his head first, then his body when he would like do, you know, walking somewhere. But it was just a way that he portrayed that character that I felt like, my God, it's the first time it feels like Jason really has some life to the character. There was something different about it. And of course, then we seen him in 8, 9, and 10, and he was able to deliver every time, even though some people might hate some of those movies and love them. But I mean, I love them all, loved his portrayal, but you're right. There's more than just putting on this outfit and saying, I am now a Predator. And especially that shit with that CG, with that screaming or whatever. Like, it just does not look fun at all.
And you don't need to see little kids running around in a Predator movie. You've got that. You don't need to keep reminding everyone that in your trailers, there's jokes, 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 jokes. Oh, yeah, there's a Predator. Predator's cool, right? Look at all the gear that was in Alien vs. Predator. You remember that shit? Remember those weapons that were in Alien vs. Predator? There's panned and trash films that people want to pretend like didn't have. Remember those weapons? They're back. Isn't it great? Mm. Oh, by the way, here's some more jokes. Cue the hip-hop music, because that's what we want to see, you know.
Joe, I think with your t-shirt store, what we need to do is take the different fonts, like the Predator font, the Marvel Studios, and you just need to take it and put Yuckfest on it in different styles like that, I think. Sell like hotcakes. I'll buy them all and wear them every week.
Yeah, or stop being funny, or... You know, or just, yeah, Yuckfest, something that just says, pokes fun at the fact people stop trying to be like a bunch of damn, you know, look at this, this is funny. And yeah, just, God, it's just.
And that's our 20-minute side rant.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring it back to Rocky IV by saying when I watched it last night, I've seen this movie numerous times because, man, it was just always on TV, which is my first exposure to it, I think, was catching it.
TBS?
Yeah.
Because they played them a lot back in the day.
Yeah, so marathons were on all the time, and I watched them all. But last night, I watched it with some alcohol in my system.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, fetch me a pen. I'm taking some notes. So I wrote down some things, and it's probably obvious shit as I'm reading it now. I was like, what were you thinking, you drunk asshole?
Yeah, we got to hear these. Go ahead.
But, all right, so... When Apollo and Drago are having their exhibition match, he's standing in the ring and it's just like darkly lit. And then all the lights and the flash come on. And here's James Brown living in America and Apollo's out and he's in his gear and everything. And I feel like that was sort of almost the turning point for his character. And you see it in his face of, I think he just really wanted the exhibition and that competition. But now that Apollo's come out here and he's doing all this stuff, it kind of pissed him off. And I think that's what set in his mind of like, all right, well, if he dies, whatever. I'm just going to take him out. And you kind of see it like in Rocky's face as well. He's just like, this is too much. Like he see like it clicks for both of those guys. Like, no, this is bad. And Apollo's like, yeah, because he thinks it's just going to be fun. And I think that's what set him off. And that was one observation. And
I got to kind of point to that.
Okay. Go for it.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, I take it as a throwback to the first one where Apollo's not taking the fight seriously. Like, he takes it personal that he doesn't like this idea of this Russian showing up and claiming to be the, you know, the best in the world. So he's like, I used to be the best in the world. I'll get in the ring with him. I'll show that he's nothing. But when just like in the first film, when they're setting the match up and Duke is watching Rocky train, he's like, Paul, you should see how this guy's training. He's like, oh, no, I'm sure it's no problem. You know, can I get some more coffee? Like, he's not taking the Rocky fight seriously, even though he takes himself seriously. He's not taking the competition seriously. And that's how I see his approach to Drago's match, is that Drago's there on business to show I'm a serious boxer. Not intentionally killing him. That's just how strong he is. And that Apollo thinks he's going to go in there and be the classic showman that he is. And once again, his ego is his worst enemy. It's just he's going to go in there, kick his ass, and, hey, you know, I got all the glory here. That's how I look at it.
I don't really see that much as a counterpoint. I think that we're both kind of agreeing. I was just saying that I think from Drago's point of view, like, he wanted to take it seriously, but I think once he saw that Apollo wasn't with that grand entrance, it clicks in his face of, like, it really, really pissed him off.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't agree with that point, that Drago sees that as an insult. He just sees this guy's a, you know, I'm here on business, and I'm just going to do what I've been trained to do, and not necessarily it is like a – I see what you're saying, though. Yeah. I'm just saying, for how I look at it is that he's taking it serious, Apollo's not, and that's just kind of how I look at that fight.
And the only other thing I had written down, I guess it would just, since Tyler, you are the wealth of knowledge and the steel trap brain, is the history behind Dolph getting the gig as Drago. Is there any history behind that? Do you know of anything like how he came about? Was it just a simple audition, or was it something that you know, Stallone saw him somewhere? It's like, that's my guy. Like, immediately, you know, any history on it?
He came in for an audition.
Okay.
And I don't think it was a whole lot of I think he got it relatively quick just because of his size and that he was already in shape anyway. I know he's talked about it, and there's a few more details I've left out, but he did come in for an audition, and Stallone liked what he saw, and I think he had it pretty quick. I don't think there was like a whole lot of like ho-humming around, like, well, let me see another 1,000 big guys here. I think just Dolph had that look of like, this guy needs to be on screen as the villain just by looking at him alone. You know, and given the only one gig that he had in A View to a Kill, and sleeping with Grace Jones currently at the point at that time too, that's that was pretty much it. You know,
yeah.
I think back then too, there weren't a whole lot of guys that looked like Dolph anyway.
Yeah,
and that's why Dolph is even though he's done a lot of straight to video garbage and things like that, he's still such an opposing actor. Just looking, and he's intelligent as hell too. So it's, you know. It's just he's just made that way too and trained. So just natural gifts alone. So
yeah. So I mean, that was basically all I had written down. Sorry, Joe, if that was a little disappointing to you, but I was just sitting there, it's like I'm gonna write this down.
I thought you had like at least 3 points you wanted to make. I was expecting like this, you know.
No, yeah, I'm telling you, it's just drunken like rambling written here on a piece of paper.
Well, it doesn't sound like you come from the mind of a drunk man. I was expecting you to come out and say, I don't think Dolph was really the good guy in this film. Let me tell you why.
No, I'm sure something like that exists, though, which doesn't make much sense. But yeah, let's go ahead and dig into this. We've already touched on it. Shows up wanting the... Go ahead, Joe.
No, I just want to say that part, though, with that whole fight, you know, like you said, from, well, the start to the end, you know, because like when, you know, he wants him to win, Apollo wants Drago to put his hands up, and when he goes like that and hits, and those hands do not go down at all. And then you see that expression on Apollo. He looks like, you know, like, what the fuck? You know, like, it's almost like that joking and all that, you know, like you said, just taking it maybe lightheartedly. You seen the look change in his eyes, and it led to a very frightening fight for me. I mean, have you seen how it ends? I just, that's a moment. Of course, this is one of the moments that I cry every time I see that part. You know, Apollo wants to have his time. It's not a, you know, supposed to be a serious fight. It's an exhibition. Exhibition fights, you know, shouldn't be this aggressive, and it went in a whole different direction. Doesn't want Rocky, you know, don't you throw in that towel, and, you know, no matter what. And
Rocky, that's like the guilt that Rocky carries with them through the rest of the picture. Exactly. That he probably could have thrown in the towel. But.
That's what I meant. I mean, could you imagine having that in your head the whole time, you know, your entire life wondering, God, I mean, should I, if I were throwing that towel in, you know, he wouldn't have died, but, you know, he's trying to honor this man. This, his whole life is boxing. This is what he is. And he doesn't, he doesn't want to throw in that damn towel. And every time I watch the movie, I keep hoping, it's not going to change, but I keep thinking, throw the towel in. I'm hoping that the movie changes. I hate that that happened when he got killed. And this is when, obviously, it was my first time ever seeing Dolph Lundgren. So we already said before with Tyler, that's why when Masters of the Universe was announced and they said it was him, I said,
you hated him. Yeah.
I hate him. I was like, that's the fucker that killed Apollo. I hate this man. I hate him. And it took a while for me to kind of like Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. But yeah, this fight, damn it. I mean, you guys can talk about your impressions, but I cry every damn time.
Well, I mean, especially that part when, Duke's like yelling at him and you just see that expression in his face and you're just like, no, like I was the same way, Joe watching it last night. And the alcohol of course doesn't help. I'm just like, oh my God, like this, I didn't cry or anything, but I was just like, God.
You cried. It's all right. We all admit you're the only one who's going to be honest. Like, I didn't cry. You bunch of pussies.
Yeah. And then Emily opens the door.
I'm
like
drinking beers, man. Hey man, pass that over. Give me that.
Hey, no, it was liquor, sir. Not beer. Anyway, I could just picture Emily cracking the door open. Just being like, shaking her head like, yeah, you did cry.
I live with this guy.
But no, the intensity of that is building and you can just see what's going on. And I think the first time I watched it, I wasn't expecting that to happen. I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna get knocked out and beat up pretty bad or something. But for him to just die in the ring the first time, I was just like, oh my God. Now the stakes have just went through the roof. And then of course, as we get into Rocky decides to take him up on the challenge, which, by the way, is kind of, I mean, it makes sense, but still kind of, it made me laugh last night when she was like, well, we have to have it in the Soviet Union because we're fearing for Drago's life and someone hurting him. But I think it was just a cool twist. It's like, all right, we're going to Russia. It's going to be on Christmas Day of all days to have the fight. It's like just the complete opposite of what you would want anyway. And it was just, I don't know. I'm like Tyler talking about Rocky too. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going with this right now. Yeah, my train of thought is just like, watch it go.
Go ahead, Tyler. Why don't you counteract what he just said or tried to say?
I'm trying to think. Well,
I take back everything that I
Nathan
said earlier.
Really didn't leave me anywhere to kind of jump onto. So
just get out of here.
But I part of me kind of, had always wished that, Apollo had lived just because I like Carl Weathers so much, ever since childhood, like anytime he, because of Predator especially. But, if you're going to do it, you got to give something Rocky to fight for. And I mean, we don't want to, Adrian dying or Paulie dying. It just, Mick dying in the third film, I felt like, it was like, that was a proper thing to do. Like he died, in the because of the skirmish, knocked him and gave him a lot of trauma and he died, from that. Whereas, I guess it makes sense, but I almost felt like they didn't have to go that route of killing Apollo.
They could have done a thing where like one of Drago's punches made his neck snap back in a way that like maybe would have paralyzed him.
Yeah,
something
I feel
like that.
They could have gone down that route or something like that. But using Apollo is like the motivator to get to Rocky to challenge Drago. I mean it's I feel like it's the fourth film in the series. We're going along for the ride. There's no real sense in questioning the story they're trying to tell here. We're supposed to be having fun with the sequel, and that's what we do with this one. And if you want the drama and sincerity and character exploration, you watch the first two films. 3 and 4 about having fun, even though there's some great emotional moments in 3 and 4 that I think are heavily overlooked, like Rocky's talk with Apollo in Mick's gym, and then the argument that Adrian and Rocky have on the beach. One of the most emotional moments in the film, with Bill Conti's score, and they're fussing at each other because Rocky's worried about coming out and saying, "I'm afraid," and there's some good emotional moments in this as well. But I think this is definitely more of a has more action beat, more of an action beat persona in this one. Like even though it's extremely sad when Apollo dies, I don't get as emotionally worked up about it as I do like in certain moments in Rocky 3. Like I just get pumped.
You know, it's sad to watch Carl Weathers die. I don't want to do that. That. I
cried from that. I cried from Mickey when Mickey died. I cried from Adrian when she went into her coma and Rocky's there in the hospital. Yeah. Like, holy, like, Jesus Christ.
I get upset during that, too.
Yeah.
But I think it's this is more of a exciting visually in this one. You know, people will poke fun at the robots. So I will say the kid playing Rocky's son in this is obnoxious as hell, though. Him and his goofy ass friends, you know, someone put a gag in their mouth or a sock in over the, in their mouth and tape over it. You know, they just don't add any flavor to the movie. That's the only nitpick I'd have about the film. Or those little brat kids.
But you did like the robot.
I could care less about the robot. I just remember that that's something that's just. I think even Stallone kind of pokes fun at the fact that they had the robot in the film. I guess because they thought it would be cutting edge to have this robot roaming around in the film. But
Paulie's girlfriend, Paulie's sex robot.
Yeah. Which I will say throughout the films, though, it's I wish they had kind of written Paulie a little differently, because I feel like by the fourth film, he just comes off as just like, dude, shut up, man. Like, he just gripes and complains like for the comic relief, but I feel like it's not really serving the purpose of the scenes, and it definitely doesn't help the story.
Yeah,
but it's fine in the first three films, because I like Burt Young's portrayal of Paulie in 1, 2, and then 3, where the film opens with him being drunk and makes it a drunk in public scene by breaking
He scared me at the beginning of part 3. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because of the music building, you feel like he's losing his mind because he sees, you know, his brother-in-law becomes popular and he's just a drunk. But Rock says, like, you know, it's his own fault. You know, he wants a job. Well, all he had to do was ask. You know, but by the fourth film, when he's just walking around complaining all the time, you kind of feel like. But then he does find redemption for his character when him, Duke, are walking into the ring. And Adrian's with him, and he, you know, kisses Rocky because he's tearing up. It's probably because he's worried that Rocky may die in the ring, too. You know, so that's a really good moment. I just feel like, you know, you don't need to complain all the time, you know, throughout the. Of course, he complains in Rocky 3. Wait, I thought some of his complaints.
Part 3 was funny. I like the one in part 3 when they're in the gym, you know, Apollo's gym. And when he sat there, he's like, you know, I don't like being around these people or something. And then Rocky said, well, maybe they don't like you. And then Paulie said, what did I do to them?
See, but that's where I feel like, all right, that's okay. That's just a bit too much. I just, you know, I felt like that was just like, Paulie, shut up at this point. But I was glad, you know, when Apollo will snap back at him too for a little bit, you know. But I just kind of felt
some parts it works. Sometimes it's over the top. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I think Rocky IV is just a really fun movie, and I don't think people needed to be so critical of it. Or I think for the most part, though, I think everyone loves Rocky IV, like almost to the point where I feel like when people refer to the Rocky films, it's either part 4 or the first one, and maybe sometimes even 3, because they'll say S for Mr. T, right? You know, because they have such, you know, highlights that kind of transcend the film itself. And Drago being in this film, I mean, Dolph was still being given dividends of just playing this role of a silent killer in this movie that has, you know, you will lose, I must break you, and then speaking in Russian during the actual match at the end of the movie. Like, he's got so little to say in the movie, just by looking imposing. Like, can you imagine having your career, even if you hadn't done He-Man, Punisher, Universal Soldier, and all the other movies he's done? I mean, to have a movie that is as popular as Rocky IV is. I mean, one could even argue that the level of popularity Rocky IV has could rival the first film, because just how many people reference Rocky IV. Like, it's just from, you know, TV shows and movies, like Rocky IV, I just feel like it's referenced so much in our culture, because it's just a fun movie. And
do you know what he said to Rocky at the end? Because I didn't ever look any for documentaries or nothing, but in that final round before the, you know, the last round started, he says something to Rocky in Russian. Did they ever say what he said, or do you know?
Are you talking about, like, the last round?
Yeah, the last round, right before they face off. I mean, that last round, they came up to each other, and Drago said something to him, but
I think he says to the end.
Oh, he actually spoke in English? Oh, it's, yeah. I guess his accent was so thick, I didn't know what the hell he said. Never...
He's got the mouthpiece in, I believe he says, to the end.
He does? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, but like when he gets cut, which is, I know we're kind of all over the place, but that's what we do with these movies here. But like, you know, like when he gets cut and he's sitting there and talking to his trainer saying he's like iron, you know, it's exciting. Yeah,
I love that
that buildup of, because it is exciting, because we see it in a lot of great movie villains. When you see that they can be wounded, it's a big deal. And for Drago, it's like if you have to question, why did they focus on this? Why is this a big deal? And like, well, clearly, for those who don't understand the logic in that, when you got such an invincible fighter like this, when they're shown a weakness, they freak out and they like start worrying, oh my God, like, I've never bled before. What does this mean? Their focus is completely on the cut, which allows Rock to come in there and start exploiting that weakness. He's messed up mentally now. He's never been cut. And when you hear Duke yell, he's cut! Like, there's a reason behind that, you know?
Yeah, see, the difference is
exciting when you see that.
Yeah, because like you said, you're seeing Drago of all his training regimen, everything with all the, you know, like the machines and stuff, and getting injected with what you'd assume would be a steroid, and then you see Rocky doing everything old school with the rocks from the wood to all the shit he does, going up a snowy mountaintop, and you know, you see Drago going on a machine, the treadmill that's escalating and going up at an incline. But yeah, with as purely strong as he's supposed to be, and like looking like he hits 2150 or whatever the hell he knocked on that machine.
So 251 pounds.
Yeah, it's like now he's going against a guy, and of course he probably figures he's going to destroy Rocky. And you're right, that part when he was like, you know, he's not human. He's like a piece of iron. But I love the face that he'd make, like when Rocky kept getting up, and then you've seen that look in Drago's face. He's looking like, what the fuck? You know, like basically, what the fuck? This guy is not stopping. He knows he's in for a fight then. And it goes from first confidence to like, oh shit, and then go being pissed. Like at times, like, okay, now I want to get in here too. It's like he had so many different emotions he was showing with this Rocky character of what the hell do I get out of this guy? First he thought he was gonna beat the piss out of him, then he's shocked that he's still coming, and then he's just angry, and they're both angry. I loved it. They're just both going at each other, and that was one of the fights to where, unlike the others, where I'm like a nervous wreck, you know, when Rocky's getting hit and they're doing all and all that weird shit and sound effects, and you're thinking, oh, Jesus, Rocky, you know, get up. This one, I wasn't getting that. It was like Rocky would get up, but he'd come back and get. It's like he was pissed. It was like you said, he was avenging what happened to Apollo, but Rocky, at no point did I feel like there was going to be that scary death moment. It was just like, damn, what's going to happen? And they just beat the piss out of each other. You're right. As for all the fights throughout all the movies, this one seemed like it was the most intense, crazy, action-packed one.
I feel like that's the tone of the whole film itself. Like, that's what kind of sets it apart from the others. Like, there's emotion in it, but it's more of a high-action, high-intensity feel to it. And the fight, I think, that's what kind of culminates into, because the way the fight is shot, it's done kind of montage-like. Like, in between the shots of them fighting, you cut to a shot of Rocky sitting in the corner, breathing heavy. A shot to Drago sitting in the corner, breathing heavy, while they're still going there.
Did you like that part when they showed during the fight, like you said, how they would go back and forth with the ways they looked in the montage, but that one part when they're both sitting down in their corners, and you see Rocky, like, look around his trainers and Drago look around his trainers. It was I like that part. They're both looking like, man, I ain't fucking through with you yet. Like, you know, I just loved it. God, I love that damn movie.
And to this day, I still say, and I've tried to think of it. I'm sure in hindsight, we could always come up with something else, but Drago's entrance for the match at the end. Can you guys think of anything more epic than with Vince DiCola's score and the doors bursting open with nothing but white light, and you see that, I mean, statuesque Drago comes slowly walking out with his trainers behind him, and that score, you know, it just kicking in, and he stops and looks at everyone, and with his head kind of cocked, walks ahead, and God, it's just, you're like, I like to think of that when I enter the gym every day. Like, that's the kind of interest I want to make, you know? I want the entire gym to go to black. And then when I walk in, just a big of white light, and I kind of cock my head and walk in, and I got my Joe Amato and my Nathan Kenny behind me as my trainers here, and I'm kind of jogging in. All right, this is my bench here, you know.
He's thought about this quite a bit there, Nate.
Over the top. Over the top, man.
Me would just be hit the Warriors music and I run to the ring because I'm insane half the time. That would explain me in a nutshell. Hit the music, here I go.
I want Batista's music. So
but
I can
you're right.
In.
That music is.
They come in there and do this. Yeah, that's what Nathan wants to do. But I mean, I like love Gangrel. What's that? Oh, Gangrel.
I said, I'd come raising out of the fire like Gangrel. No, but you're right. The music is just. It's as important to the movie as everything else. I mean, you got to have a good, impactful score, and you know, to blend with the fight. Not only the entrances, but the fight itself. In certain moments, without that, you know, you kind of lose some of the impact and the feel. I mean, I even love the part where I think it was towards the end of round 12 or beginning of round 12 when the crowd starts chanting for Rocky. Then it's like, you know, they're chanting for him. It's like that was kind of a cool moment. I like that shit, having the Russian fans now cheering for Rocky. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, because then his trainer goes down there and smacks him in the head and goes, "Body way!" or something in Russian. And, you know, Raga picks him up and throws him down.
Yeah, I like that.
But
I
think Vince Cicola had a tough act to follow with all of Bill Conti's, you know, music that he'd done. But he makes the Rocky IV score his own. You know, I just think, you know, all the training music, you know, when he's and, of course, you've got the, you know, Survivor did, you know, Burning Heart and No Easy Way Out. Didn't they do the actual like original songs to the movie? Nathan, look it up real quick.
Nathan, hit the Google. Yeah, whatever the hell it is. Go ahead. Do a quick little search.
I think so. I think it was Survivor.
Who did Hearts on Fire or that one?
Yeah, you got Hearts on Fire, No Easy Way Out. I said Burning Heart. God, that's just one of the lyrics. Damn it. I botched my Rocky IV trivia here.
Well, songs from the movie included Living in America, also music by John Cafferty, Hearts on Fire featuring Vince Dicola, Survivor Kenny Loggins. Robert Tepper is the one that did No Easy Way Out.
I guess because a lot of those guys sound so very similar to each other. God, man, sure I did my homework on that one. But I made sure I always knew Vince Dicola because I will say as a kid, and as an adult too, Vince DiCola's score stuck out more to me than the original music. Like, you know, it's catchy, but it's not as energizing as the training music and the piece of music called War, when Rocky gets the upper hand of the match for the first time, and then he goes back to his corner. Duke says he's not a machine, he's a man. And then you kick in the montage of the match, where they're going back and forth. That music is beautiful. I mean, it's just, makes you want to go out and I want to go bench press something, you know.
The training montage with Hearts on Fire, though, I always love that. That one always got
me. And that was good, too.
Yeah.
You know, you can jump up to that or do a dragon flex to that, too, man. Kick ass, man.
Well, good Nathan, stuff. We've rambled a lot. You got to get in your
I mean, Tyler's just bringing everything back to how he wants to go work out and all that stuff. Meanwhile, it's like I'm just sitting there doing my crazy dances and Joe's eating a burger, even though it's a chicken sandwich.
Yeah. I'm eating a burger chicken sandwich. Yeah. Yeah, because that's how it would be. I'm doing dragon flags at the gym. Nathan's just kind of doing some kind of crazy, you know, dance that he does, and Joe's just, you know, keep up the good work there, Tyler, you know.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Just, that would be such a great kind of 80s throwback film, like, you know, we're facing up a challenge of like some invading like asshole comes in to buy one of our precious hangouts. Now we got to go train and get ready for the big showdown to stop those corporate bastards and get the girl at the end of the day or something like that, you know. All these training montages, like in No Retreat, No Surrender. You know, one of the funniest movies that have ever been made. You know, with the training montages and that, you know. We could do something like that. It'd be great.
We need to fly Joe out so we can just film some of this stuff. We'll go to your gym.
We do that, and then we go to, like, the Riverlawn Elementary School, like, old playground. I can do, like, you know, pull-ups, stuff like that. And while Joe's sitting there with, like, another bag of, you know, fish filet or a chicken sandwich, something like that. Nathan's just off to the side, just break dancing with a big like boom box or something like that.
Ghetto blaster.
Yeah, big ghetto blaster.
Playing Shaka Khan.
Awesome. And Joe's always wearing like a new customized shirt in every scene that he's in. It's just not. It's just there. Like it's not like, shown, but focused on. But each scene, he's got a new shirt on and a slightly different mask or something like that. And we never question, Joe, did you have another face?
Yeah,
done the mask in the other scene, you know.
Like,
we just accept it.
Because, yeah, like, God, what was that goofy, that one Mel Brooks movie, Life Stinks, where I think that there was, no, not Life Stinks.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
No, yeah, yeah. There was that, but then also young friend gets thing where the hump wasn't your hump. You know, because the hump was over here, but then the hump's over there. It kept moving on Igor or something.
Yeah,
so Igor, I can picture that. You're like, Joe, what's your mask? Yeah, the mask, like, see the big smile, but then the next time it'd be down a little bit, and there's a different expression on the eyes. What the fuck is going on? I could have swore. Oh, that would be a crazy thing.
Background. Anytime like Joe's like stressed about something, we have like a modulat mask with the smile upside down, and he's like holding his head, and to convey the emotion that he's going through. Then we say, Joe, someone just gave you $500 for a new custom, and then he looks up at the camera, and then the frown is it's now a big smile. Like, how the hell did he do that? You know, just gags like that.
We should.
And then he starts break dancing like Andrew WK. You know. And we go into another montage of Joe's working on the custom. Nathan's behind him kicking and dancing. And, you know, and I'm doing push-ups behind Joe as he's customizing or something like that. You know, just goofy as hell 80s montage all over the place.
And we should get together and just make Beyond Retro the movie. Just for shits and giggles. Like just a little short film of all these montages and things that we always talk about on the show. We'll make it real.
But
Joe,
it's nothing but throwbacks to classic 80s films, though. Like it's nothing but, you know, montage is like, yes, we know it's a montage. That's why, that's why we're doing it. We know it's a cliche. You know, that's why it's, you know, this is funny, isn't it?
Joe, we're gonna fly out and do it. The fight, just kind of the fight choreography throughout all the films was always top notch to me. Like, yeah, it gradually from the first film to four, like, got quicker. And the cuts and everything, but it always looked so impactful, and you've got to think how much of a pain in the ass that probably was to shoot. You know, you have to do it from all the different angles, but when you're doing that, you have to make sure that it looks right. I wonder, like, how long those days took. Like, we're going to focus 15 days just on shooting this final fight.
Sylvester Stallone, he definitely really took that serious of every little mannerism, motion. I seen one of those things where they were showing like a making of some of the fights, and it had him and Carl Weathers, and there was like two guys in the background. I don't know if he was just showing how the things would even, you know, being done, but he was talking about how, okay, how I want Paulo, once you come in, you would do a combination, do this, then I'm gonna fall back like this, I'll get up, I'll look at you. And it was like a 10-minute video of something I'd seen on YouTube, and I was like, that was pretty damn cool. So you can imagine just that little bit, then what they would do for the entire fight. That must have been painstaking.
Yeah, like not only that, but the training involved to prep for such a thing too is just the endurance that you have to have anyway to be a fighter, but to get yourself in that condition to be able to film this for hours a day just to get it right. And not only that, like.
Right.
I know that they probably, and I think I've seen it before in interviews, there were some punches that did land
when
they were doing that, because you couldn't help it, but it looked like it too. But
it's
just
went to the hospital their first day of working together. Like he said, I think he broke Stallone's jaw. I think their first go at it when they were fighting, because Stallone like, no, lay it in, like it's got to look real. And sure enough, Stallone had to go to the hospital. I believe it's their first day of film or working on the fight together. What you guys were elaborating, it pisses me off, but how critics and the masses will kind of look down upon, you know, 80s action films. You know, you think about, like, and Stallone has even said, like, you know, like for Rambo 2 in particular, the diet you have to be on, it's not a healthy diet. Like, a human being can't survive on the little food you are supposed to eat. When I say little food, I mean the little, like, options you have. You have to eat a set amount a certain amount of calories multiple times a day, and you can't branch out. You have to maintain that diet to get the physique, plus lift weights before the camera rolls to get your muscles pumped up and everything.
And the baby oil.
The baby oil. You got to stay greased up. You know, but you got to memorize the script, where you're supposed to be in front of the camera, and to make sure that your body is looking the way it should for the camera to look like the hero or look like the villain. And they're never given enough credit for that, unless, you know, like I always had an appreciation, and then, you know, learning the secrets of how that works behind the scenes, I became fascinated by, you know, lifting weights before the camera rolls, you know, and having it work, you know, what kind of diet and training they have to go through. Whereas I'm not trying to say that actors that just do drama and don't do action, you know, they all have a hard job, you know, it's, you know, and you know, all of us, you know, me especially, are hard on certain actors because of the trash they put out. But given what their job, is expected of them, you know, to memorize the lines, to make sure you're in the right position, stuff like that. I mean, it's important stuff for like dramas and action movies because you're trying to convey a serious character. In a comedy, they make bloopers and they attach them at the end of the film, and everyone laughs and carries on. But you know, I think it's serious business, and I don't think it's given enough credit to the actors, especially back then, of like Arnold, Sloane, and Van Damme, who were showing impressive physiques, and Dolph, and portraying a character that we can either get behind or be against, and look this way, you know, because that was expected of our heroes and villains. You had to look like, you know, the guy that could take care of it. Whoever side you're on, that was a different story. But
I think the last time there was like a focus on the training regimen for the film was probably when 300 came out, because there were so many guys and extras that they had that all sort of, I think, went through the same regimen to get to, because they all sort of just looked the same, just that lean but muscular. I think that was the last time you really heard anything about it, but it is, like you said, it is sort of just glossed over. Not only that, but I mean, Stallone's also wearing multiple hats. He wrote it and directed the sequels, and I feel like he doesn't get enough credit for the work that he did on these. Like, the people that are super into awards and stuff, they will tend to be like, well, the first one in Balboa, because those two are the more grounded, really serious ones, whereas they turn their nose at 3 and 4 in particular. I know people do give 4 a lot of shit because it's just, they're like, oh,
well, yeah, because it's, you know, aside from the fact that they're using the Cold War situation to play as like the background of the film, you know, to say that Rocky has changed Russia's viewpoints on us.
Yeah.
You know, yes, people are going to tear that apart in his speech at the end. If I can change and you can change, then we can all change. What a stupid man, and or whatever. Go watch
it. I think it has a good heart behind it.
It does. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I think that it seemed like the natural progression for those sequels. Like, I mean, I look back at it, who would have thought that it would have turned into a franchise, a movie that was about an underdog, getting it, you know, winning Best Picture and getting all this recognition, turns into a franchise. Like, the sequels seem to make, but then come 3 and 4, it's kind of becomes like an action series, you know, where there's a lot of good emotional moments in it. But 4, I think, lacks the moments, like, even though Joe says he cries when Apollo does, and I think a lot of people probably do because he's a beloved character. I just feel like it focuses more on, God, I've already said it before.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of repeating myself at this point here. But yeah, I feel like, yeah, they are treated unfairly, because for Stallone to do all that for the sequels, and yeah, and Stallone in general, you know, they'll give him credit for First Blood and Rocky, but he gets shit on for the sequels and a lot of the other movies he's done. I'm like, not all actors are expected to be on a certain diet and work out multiple times a day and then have to train how to box properly or how to fire a bow and arrow or use firearms properly, then go back, work on the script, doctor this, doctor that, you know, go back to the gym when you're done with that, be up at 5 a.m. to get prepped with makeup for like battle scars or whatever. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And I hate it when people want to look, turn their nose away at the films that, to this day, they hold more merit than any Oscar winner does, because we're still talking about Rocky IV. We're not sitting around talking about the Oscar winner for 1976, you know, whatever the hell that is.
I'm going to look it up now just because you brought it up.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, am I wrong here, people?
Like, the one
Well, all right. See, the Best Picture winner, 1976, is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that's a fantastic fucking film.
Well, it is. So I put my foot in my mouth
on that. Should have picked a different year, man. Film.
77, because I knew Star Wars didn't win.
The rest of the show is just going to turn into me looking at movies like, actually, no, that one's pretty good, too. 77 was actually Rocky, so.
Shit!
Perfect.
This is what happens when we improv here, you know? We screw up here, so I have to issue a public apology to Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Sylvester Stallone. and the cast. And,
wow, Tyler, holy shit, man. Just a double whammy on you right there.
He's like, that's it. He's like, hey, I'm going to stop right now. No, yep, you know, you're talking about character. No, it happens. It happens. But, I mean, not only taking the role seriously of getting in shape for Rocky, but I always thought that Copland, didn't he get out of shape for Copland to get a big gut? And it's like,
yeah,
they do some crazy serious shit when they get into these roles. And you're right. They're not given enough credit half the time.
Yeah, I remember there was a lot of talk about him putting on all that weight for Copland because he'd always been known as, like, one of the most in shape, you know, he's up there with Arnold. And, you know, it's like, you know, the guys that are in shape, they look the part of, like, the most tough macho guy. And it just seems like they put a lot of focus on, I mean, obviously people do acknowledge, you know, great physiques on screen, but I still feel like, not just because we grew up on them, but those, like Arnold, Stallone, Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, those guys had extremely impressive looks. Like, I feel like guys who work now, they come off as just very cookie cutter and bland. Like, they're in shape. Like, Matt Damon can get in shape. Jason Statham gets into shape. Gerald Butler got into shape for 300, you know, and so on and so forth. But, I mean, there's something much more impressionable about the way those guys look. And it probably, a lot of that probably goes to the roles they're playing, too. You know, I think those guys, it's fun to see larger than life stuff. Even though Rocky, the first two Rockies are definitely more grounded in reality. And even the third one. But by the fourth one, that's when I felt like it does veer off to a deeper territory that's not as realistic as the first two films, at least. But that's what makes it fun, you know. And that's why I enjoy those 80s action films so much, because they aren't very realistic. I don't want realism in those movies. And that's when you get that, you get the Christopher Nolan Batman films, you know. I'm not saying they're trash, but I feel like you're trying too hard to say, this isn't reality here. Like, I don't want to watch reality. It's fun to go out of reality. That's why we watch movies. That's why we read comics and watch cartoons. Why Joe loves Jason on Friday the 13th. That's not realistic. A guy that you keep killing over and over and over again, and he comes back and starts killing all the preppy kids and kids that, you know, that are in the tent nearby. You know, it's not realistic, but that's what makes it fun. Am I right, Joe?
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. That's what I get into when I watch these, like you said, from Friday the 13th to Masters of the Universe or certain things. It's like, that's your escape from maybe not just saying a shitty reality that people live, but just meaning sometimes you like an escape. Something that, yes, I know this is not going to happen. I know I can't hold up a sword and turn it into somebody else that's super powerful. I know I can't fly like Superman. I know I couldn't be not that I'd want to be a murderer like Jason, but I know that I ain't somebody that you're going to
get. Are you sure?
Are you sure about that? When somebody's not going to get you what you want? No. But, no, it's like, and to see this killer like Jason, that just, he cannot be stopped. Again, I know this isn't real, but that's what's fun. And it keeps, like you said, the stuff that we never talk about. We don't go into all goofy political or religious and all these other rants on this podcast. And sometimes in some movies, I don't want to see it. That's not what these movies should be about. They're just fun. You know, you see a good-ass action movie, a funny comedy, whatever it is, a horror movie, enjoy it, that's it. That's all it should ever be about.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like people have lost their way with what they expect from films, or that they're so quick to look down upon movies. But you know what? The most popular movies are the movies that we talk about on this show. Like, those are the ones that are continuously being printed on T-shirts, getting action figures, being given special editions on Blu-ray through Shout Factory or whatever the case may be. You know, they may not make as much money at the box.
No, and you're right. Did you ever think there'd be a day and age when comic book movies would be the most powerful, you know, like popular and most highest grossing movies of all time? Like, you sometimes look on these lists of these movies, like, Jesus, some of the top ones are, you know, the Marvel movies, or they're gonna be Star Wars movies or fantasy movies. That's something that I can't even have fathomed when I was a kid, thinking, man, everybody's going to like seeing movies based off of this comic or because of this action toy property or whatever it may be. It's bizarre. And I know that there's, you know, yes, there's movies that are higher in grossing when it comes to, like, inflation, you know, like Gone with the Wind or Titanic and certain other movies. But still, the majority of most popular movies are these things that, like you said, are escape films. Just fun and just shit I never thought would happen. I never thought this would happen in my life.
I mean, I think, I don't know if Tyler and I touched on it last week, but because it all just blends together. But I was just like, I never would imagine an Ant-Man movie ever, like ever.
I couldn't picture that. No, I would never picture an Ant-Man movie. to be honest. Yeah. When I was a kid, I don't even know if I remember ever even knowing of Ant-Man. I wasn't a big reader of, you know, DC and Marvel comics, so I don't know a lot of the characters that you guys know. But no, when I finally did see of Ant-Man, how many years ago it was, I would have never pictured. I was like, this character looks like he's a nobody. Who would like this guy? And then he makes a movie, and hell, it was pretty damn good. Might not have been the best in the entire series that everybody loves, but it was still enjoyable.
I think it's good that one positive to the whole influx of nerd culture is that those of us that grew up in a time period when it wasn't cool, I'm glad that those kids that are into it now, like really, really into it, don't have to feel ashamed of what they really like so much. I mean, that's of course, now to me, if I were growing up in this day and age, I would honestly probably just be annoyed that most of these things are so popular, because Tyler's joked about it before, where people will just go and just buy all these shirts at Hot Topic, and you ask them a question about it, and they're like, who? Like, there was this one girl that I worked with, she was wearing a Ninja Turtle, or yeah, she was wearing a Ninja Turtle shirt. I couldn't remember if it was her wearing it or I was wearing it, and it struck up the conversation. So I went up to her and I was like, oh, hey, like, cool shirt. And she was like, yeah, you know, she couldn't tell me who Splinter, she couldn't tell me Splinter's name. And I was like,
Jesus Christ. Okay,
all right, I see where we're going with this. And abruptly just walked away. I just laughed. And she was like, what? And I just, like, didn't say anything and just moved.
They went like this. He had one of these, and then he heard what she had to say, and I went, yeah, I went this way. But yeah, with that excitement, I was like, hey, this girl's into this. And she don't know shit about that.
I hate that so much. That's what, to me, is what's wrong with all of it, from comic book movies to Star Wars to any of this stuff, is that it's just become fashionable at the moment. You don't, it's not expected of these people now to know anything about it or to be able to have a conversation about Star Wars in depth. Or, I mean, I think, well, maybe Star Wars, I mean, for most people that like Star Wars, most of them can carry on a conversation about Star Wars in some form or another. But with the comic book movies, it's sickening to the point where, you know, I really wish it had happened in the 90s. Just because, you know, the Batman films made tremendous amounts of cash. And that was the only franchise going in the 90s in terms of, like, you know, superheroes. And that was popular. Everybody liked Batman. It didn't feel like, you know, especially 89. Everyone, all film fans know that 89 was the summer of Batman. Everybody was wearing Batman, you know, from T-shirts and wearing it in the back of their heads and stuff like that. So I still, it sucks that none of this stuff came any sooner. Because I don't think it would have been because comic books too were much more easily accessible back in the 90s.
Yeah, they were. Man, those were like everywhere, man. I had the dedicated comic shop, but you could go into 7-Eleven, go into the grocery stores. They were just everywhere, and then all of a sudden just disappeared.
Yeah, and so unless you go to a Barnes & Noble, which I don't even know if Barnes & Noble even carries comics anymore, or a specialty shop, it's hard for kids. You know, so I really can't say I blame kids, so to speak, because they only go with what's accessible, and mommy and dad are throwing that damn cell phone in front of them. So that's what they know, and whatever garbage is on the Disney Channel and Nick right now. But you know, high school kids to college kids and adults now that want to come out and start wearing, I got this kick-ass Batman shirt, man. He's like got skills. Like, where did you get that piece of shit shirt? I got it at that really cool trendy place at the mall. Like, it's called like Flame Subject or something like that.
Flame Subject. Like,
if you get it, you get one free. You know. So you like Batman? Yeah, I mean, he's cool because, you know, he's human, man, and he doesn't have powers, dude, and that's what makes him cool, man. Because he's not a superhero. So who's your favorite villain? I like that one that the actor that died, that guy dressed like a clown and he died after making it. He was pretty cool. Yeah, because he was like, you know, edgy and funny too.
Yeah, Lord Laughing Man.
Who?
Who?
You know, just, God, it just makes me mad because they're the people going to see these piece of shit, you know, superhero movies.
I remember that. I remember when Dark Knight came out, or whatever the hell one was with Heath Ledger. What was it with Heath
Dark
Ledger?
Dark Knight.
I can't even remember. Okay, so it was Dark Knight. Yeah.
Tyler makes this whole point of like all this, and Joe's like, which one was that again?
Yeah, no, really. It just went right over my head.
I know Joe's being sincere about it, too. Like, he's not playing. He's like, he's being sincere.
No, I really was. I was like, fuck, I don't even remember. All I just know is I remember when that movie came out, and it was the big hot thing that everybody was going to see. And yeah. Where I worked at the time at the one factory, there was this one secretary that was up front. And she was like, did you go see, The Dark Knight? I was like, yeah, I seen it. It was pretty good. And she was like, yeah, I seen it too. I loved it. I was like, oh, you like Batman, huh? She was like, well, kind of not really, but I know this is Heath Ledger's, like, one of his last movies or something. God. So I wanted to see it. And then that's all I kept hearing were all these people who knew nothing of Batman going to see The Dark Knight because it could have been it's Heath Ledger's last movie, and I want to see his performance. I hear it's pretty good. And it's like, oh, so that's what made the movie. So apparently if Heath Ledger did not die, would you have went to see The Dark Knight? No, you wouldn't.
Probably not, no.
Exactly.
And it's not like Heath Ledger was like an A-list celebrity at the time, too. He was a well-known actor, but he was not, you know, the top of the heap of the Hollywood, you know, Walk of Fame. Like, he just was a well-known actor, and and that's what made it so. Because I remember me and Nathan even talking about it. Like, there was so much hype after his death. Like, kind of feels like people aren't really going to see this Batman film because they want to see a new Batman and be like
the
summer of '89. Yeah,
nope. It was all about Heath Ledger, which was. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate the man passed away, but yeah, it's unfortunate that, yeah, everybody went to go see the movie because of that. It's like, it's unreal what people get, you know, like, it's whatever the flavor of the month is. Unlike the stuff that, you know, like, when we grew up with, we were super passionate about it then and continue to carry that, you know, like, torch for it now. Some of these things that are happening now that so-called everybody likes or it's the new trend or everybody's into, you think they're going to give two shits about it in 5 years, 10 years, let alone 20 or 30 like us? They don't care. They're just, oh, that's the new taste. That's, I'm, you know, like you say, the new flavor of the month. They try this, they'll forget about it.
I mean, yeah, that does pose a good question. Are things that are coming out now that are super popular, will there be that nostalgia and love for it?
I doubt
20
it.
Years down the road.
I've often wondered, and Joe, I like Joe's point there. And I blame it up to the fact that they've been given so many superhero movies now that are just kind of like they run together. They're not leaving a significant individual impact. But like with Batman 89 or Batman Returns, depending on how you want to look at it, or Blade or the first Spider-Man film, whatever the case may be, all these movies are running together. They're not making a lasting – I mean, I think – even though I hate saying this, I'm only going back. I give credit where credit was due for my topic here, not because I don't want to see the movie anyway, but because Guardians came out and was not what people expected it to be. I think that will make a little bit of a lasting impression, because even though no one knew, unless you're a comic book fan, even knew that there was even a Guardians of the character, you know, like, what is this? Because it was not your standard superhero movie or whatever. Because even though it's a comic book, it was a, you know, under the it was one of the lower level comic book characters. Now it's one of the top, you know, top books, of course. But I think because it came out and made an impact of being something outside the box, for better or worse, you know,
I can't believe I'm hearing this right now.
Only because it came out and people are like, "Oh man!" Because it wasn't.
It did. It broke the mold.
Yeah. So
the problem with that is, yes, it did break the mold, but it also now got sort of just sucked in with the rest of it. Like you said, it all just runs together. It's all just one same thing. That's why when I watch those films now, I'm just like, yeah, it was a Marvel movie. It doesn't make me feel anything.
No.
I was just going to say, like, most of the stuff that we talk about, that's the reason we talk about it, because it left that imprint. As you said, none of this stuff really does anymore. There's not one thing that really sticks out. And when it does, it seems like it just gets absolved into everything else. And
that's why I like John Wick so much, because I feel like John Wick is standing out. Joe, have you seen the John Wick films?
Yes, one time each for each one, and they were good from when I seen. I hated the part where the dog.
Oh, yeah.
I told Nathan, I hate the part where, God damn it, But go ahead.
Well, I asked Joe because I was like, well, John Wick would actually be kind of a good topic at some point down the road to cover, because it would bring up conversations like we're having now, that Tyler's going to make his point of how John Wick sort of just, in the action genre that we have these days, it really just set itself apart from everybody else. I hope that when part three rolls around, it sticks to the formula yep. that they've had with these two, and it's not just your
typical. They're making a part three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it'll come out next October or something like that.
Yeah, it's 2019, so it'll be, you know, we'll be too far off, but yeah, right. The third and Halloween final installment will be.
In the next month, we got Halloween coming out.
And Joe, we talked about this last week. You have to make sure you see this new one so we can all sit down on the weekend it comes out.
Oh, just to let you know, when there's horror movies, that's the only time Joe is getting the hell out of the house to go see a movie, definitely, is when it's Halloween, a Friday the 13th, Elm Street. I'm usually there on the first day. So, yeah, I'll be seeing Halloween. Yeah.
All right, well, that will be the dedicated episode for opening weekend of Halloween. We're going to give the review. Tyler, was there something else you wanted to tack on to that episode when we did it?
No, I'd say we'd just probably make the whole thing, you know, based on that, because I guess that kind of limits what we do the month of October, because we only have four episodes in October. We're going to do Joe's Raw Head Rex, we'll do Halloween, and then, because me and Nathan had tossed around a bunch of ideas too, Joe. Like, do we want to do, like, a Once Bitten, Pet Cemetery? Do we want to do...
I love all them. Hell, honestly, any of those you mentioned, I'd love them all. I can't
Monster
think of
Squad.
Monster Squad.
God, yeah. Yeah. All those.
Maybe it might be in one of those cases where we have to do two films in each episode or something like that, and then leave the Halloween review for its own episode. Or unless we do half the episode is the review, and then we tack on, like, a fun horror movie at the end of that.
I don't know. I think with... when we do Halloween, I think we should just dedicate it all to that. Just one big comprehensive review of our thoughts and hopefully all positive. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, we could come out angry as hell and ready to kill everybody.
I mean, it's terrible to think about how going to see the last four Halloween movies, how I've just been left like... I mean, when H2O, after the end of that, I remember just walked out of the theater like, well, that just fucking sucked. And then here came Resurrection. I was like, God, that was just all fucking terrible. And then here came Rob Zombies. And then here came Rob Zombies. And I watched, I was like, meh. You know, I didn't flip as much. But then part two of Rob Zombies came out. I was like, holy Christ. I wanted to leave out how many times they were in the theater. I was like, I'm never watching that piece of shit.
See, I like the second one over the first one.
Oh my God, are you insane? God, did that suck. God, did that suck. How bad that was.
I think I prefer it over the first one, just because he was just like, here we go. Tyler's like, oh God, not this shit again. I prefer that one over the first one, just because he's like, all right, this is the direction. I'm just going to jump off a fucking cliff with it.
He sure did. I mean, my God, I wanted to just jump off a cliff after watching that movie.
I can see Joe like shoving Rob Zombie off to the side. No, I'm going first.
Exactly. Mike, it was horrible. That movie was so much confusion. It was the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. Well, I mean, it was one of the dumbest Halloweens. Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry.
Janusz tossed out Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
I love Killer Clowns. I watch Killer Clowns. Hell yeah, I got action figures of them little bastards too. I like that.
Yeah, we got a lot of options here.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact though that most of these movies that we're throwing out is sort of just a off of the wall, like things.
They're not what you expect. Like last year, we did what you'd expect. This one is just like, you know what? We're going to do films that people know, but hey, who talks about Once Bitten? You know, I just
we
think
talk
that's
about
like
Pumpkinhead. I feel like we've talked about Pumpkinhead, but
no,
I'm not sure.
No, we have not done Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead would be a fantastic one.
Oh, Pumpkin. Yeah. Not the recent ones with all this special effects shit that looked horrible, but
yeah, man.
Well, should we build it as like the midnight double feature, or like the drive-in double features of like two horror films and the three other episodes for the month of October? Aside from our Halloween review, we do two horror movies, the first one, second, and then
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be good doing double build episodes. I think that makes sense too in terms of kind of the movies we're picking. Sort of remind me of double features that you would find at like a drive-in. Yeah, that'd be good.
All right,
I like it.
Yeah. So
we got October lined up.
There you go. Now I don't know how many people are still hanging in the chat room because Chris Chambers. I think I said hello. Thank you for joining us because I seen somebody else that joined us.
And they may have all hung themselves after hearing Nathan liked Halloween too. Just
no, I didn't. Off the cliff I right didn't now. Say that I liked it. I just said that it was. I thought it was better than the first one. They're both fucking terrible. But I'm saying the second one.
Oh, that second.
At least he's like, all right, let's just go all out with this thing. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that aspect, but yeah, they're both awful. Awful. Rob Zombie, stick to your original ideas. I like those movies better.
Yes, indeed. So, well, how do you want to wrap this up there, Nathan?
Well, Tyler's still looking like he's fuming at me. Why'd you have to bring up those Halloween sequels again?
Oh, I'm not even thinking about it.
No, because I remember when we did the Halloween episode before, and he brings it up.
I will say that was one of the worst episodes because hearing you guys sit and talk about Part 5 for God knows how long.
That was part 6.
Can someone lobotomize me right now? Just.
Oh man. Well, anyway,
I think even Matt Bishop, who listens to the podcast, was like, "You guys should Halloween." Like, Part 5 is not that bad. What? I could have swore. I think he said something.
No,
like
yeah.
That.
I mean, Part 5 is just.
Or maybe
not...
he did say it was a piece of shit. I can't remember. Yeah, Matt, if I got it wrong, call me an asshole and let me know what I got right or wrong.
Part 5 is not good.
I love 5. Hey, we got to stop this podcast now. You have blasphemy Part 5. I love it.
Well, you don't
want to. Is Joe serious when he says that, or is he pulling my chain here?
I love it. I love Part 5.
What?
Yes, I love Part 5. I love it. When I see 4, I have to watch 5. I watch
together. Wait, so you like just Jamie like freaking out all the time, and then that dumb kid, what's his name?
But we got this for you,
Billy.
Jamie.
That was Billy.
God,
how do you like that, Joe?
Well, that was that. By the way, that was Billy, that little kid. But no, I just love the damn movie. I love when.
Okay, so Joe likes Part 5, and Nathan loves Part 2.
No, no, don't.
He's like, don't do this to me.
Don't you? No, we are not giving people the impression that I like that film.
I think needs to take a picture of Nathan with his thumbs up in front of like the Halloween 2 movie poster or something.
Well,
like
here, hang on. Let me go ahead and do this so Janusz can go ahead and he can take that and screen cap it and just put it on the poster.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I had to get one of Joe and put that in front of Halloween 5.
Oh, please. Yeah. You can put my mask over Michael's. Anything you want. Damn it, I love Part 5. Damn, I love Part 5.
God, Joe probably gets hard nipples over Part 5, man. God,
I actually do. I think I do. I get excited. As Bud said when he had that steak in Married with Children, he's like, I think I'm getting sexually excited. I do every time I see Part 5. I love that game.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it, man.
It's happening right now. That's why I put the scarf here. I don't want you guys seeing because I start poking and everything. That's why I had the camera in a certain way. The nipples start poking right through. And they are.
Man, Joe ain't hot all the time. He's just hot and bothered. That's what
I'm bothered. There it is. Now you call it on hot and bothered.
And then next week, if Joe's got like some stains on his scarf, we know what it's from.
It's not from the meatball sub. It's from just the excitement of Part 5.
Right, you don't want to see the ends of these apples. No.
Anyway,
God, I would say Joe coming back. We are back here in rare form here. All three of us back together here, man.
No, it's good, Joe. I mean, man, on the weeks when either one of you are gone and we just have to do a two-man show, it's just not the same. I mean, it's still good, but it's just not the same.
It's still fun, but like you said, yeah, all three of us together, yeah, it's always good. And you did a good job last week, by the way, with Fans of Power. You did a great job.
Joe, I messaged Joe and I was like, man, I'm sorry if it just wasn't good, and he's like, man,
I thought it went great. Actually, I told him, I said, I thought he did better than me. I thought it just sounded really great. The flow back and forth between you two, I really enjoyed it.
I don't think we got as many views. That's probably due to Joe, you know, because Joe's got a secret stash of contacts that he promotes the podcast. So I think that suffered or killed a lot of our views on that episode.
I don't think so.
I think overall, like from the downloads and what views we did get, and then the extra views that Doug has on his channel, I think we got close to about 200.
Yeah.
200 total listening to the episode overall. So, you know, also bang it up to like, I have no idea what people, I was telling Nathan too, because he was worried about it. I said, dude, me and Joe, we have no idea at this point. We're doing this, doing the podcast, going on 3 years now. We don't know what the hell people are going to want to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, we could have guests on. They don't give a shit. We could talk about, you know, I don't know, some European coloring book. Oh, my God. You know, we don't know. It's just, it sucks to still not know what the fan base likes.
No, you're right. I mean, it's just, it's random what anybody could get into. Sometimes maybe they do want to hear more about the toys or the recent news or here in the comics. It's like, I don't know. It's like you said, swing and a miss. You never know what's going to happen. So, but either way, that's why we try to deliver as much different content as possible. So there's always something for a particular group of fans.
Joe and I will do an episode on Halloween 5, just the both of us, and it just 1,000 views.
This is the best fucking episode ever. Like, how did that happen?
Then I just walk into oncoming traffic at that point. And, you know, I just
local man here.
I would be driving on the interstate and just see someone dive off the road. I was like, that looked like Tyler.
No, but it's clear like a dummy off Married with Children falling down, and I'm just screaming off camera. And then I lay in front of Nathan's car, and I've got Y written in blood on a DVD copy of Halloween 5 laying in front of his car.
That's great. I always love those damn dummies that Married with Children falling off the roof. It was so obvious, but it made it that much more hilarious.
Just like Al falling on his neck, but in just hearing him scream, like, God, that's what made it funnier, because it was so blatantly cheap.
Yep, they even with Butter, remember when him and Kelly were both pulling off that jukebox machine, and she lets go, he flies up, and then smashes down into it. Oh, that shit's great. Okay.
I never
got
all
right,
David. Yeah, I like how Joe was like, all right, man, go ahead and wrap it up. And that was, what, like 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Get him talking about Halloween, and then it's just
game over.
Yeah,
it's just game over. Anyway, thanks to everyone in the chat that joined us on this episode. It's always nice having you guys here. Just every week, our core guys, and Janusz is already messaged all of us the photoshops. Joe, I'm sure you saw it in the chat. He's like, this one's done, this one's done, this one's done. So always appreciate your art. It's wonderful, especially the Ernest stuff. That was fantastic.
Yeah, Joe's face fits so well on Jim Varney's body.
Oh, man.
It seems like this mask can work for a lot. It's just, there's not much you have to do. Sometimes with a human face, you got to watch with the neck, so it's just damn easy to take this and go plop, put it onto something. So it does. It works.
It does
work. But if you guys are new to this channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button and ring that bell so you can join all these guys in the chat when we go live. Check out the links below. We have the audio archive. We have Joe's custom creations, his t-shirts. Buy the merchandise. Like us on Facebook. Like this video. Leave a comment down below. Give us your thoughts on Rocky, not just Rocky IV, but maybe just the series as a whole. What are some of your favorite moments from the films? What is your favorite one? Mine's Rocky IV, because I feel like that's just what the culmination of all of the elements that they've been building forward. There goes my mind again, just wandering off.
We'll come back to this series too, because we have to do Rocky II and Rocky III. I almost feel like Rocky I's like that wouldn't be something we would cover, because it's. I just don't feel, unless that was something like we really should, but I kind of feel like the third one definitely needs a discussion, and maybe even Rocky II, but I kind of feel like Rocky I is just, I don't know. It's like discussing like The Godfather or something. Well, of course, I think Rocky's better than The Godfather.
I
feel like The Godfather is just like good films, but heavily overrated.
See, I think Godfather Part II is the heavily overrated one, because I watched that one. I'm like, there's too much back and forth with your timelines with it. I'm like, I prefer Godfather over Part II, but I think Joe and Tyler, I don't know if we will all be in agreement with this, but I would say out of those four core Rocky films, I would put the first one at the bottom. It's not bad at all, but I'm just saying in terms of
entertainment value.
Yes. Like if you're like, all right, let's watch a Rocky movie, I'm instantly going to gravitate more towards 2, 3, or 4. That's just how it is.
I think it just can vary by people. Some people have just whether how they experience Rocky from the first time, and certain personal experiences, families, whatever, have different ways. But no, I wouldn't put one at the bottom. It's hard for me. I told you, it really is. My family, it's different. I can't explain what it is. It's different with how we've always watched and perceived Rocky. And I just, it's hard for me. It's like how I always put Tyler on the spot. Tyler, okay, I want you to pick this. And you're like, oh, God damn it.
I'm going to do what everyone does to Joe. I'm going to say all of them because of this and that, you know.
Yeah,
because,
you know, Tyler, I hate when I put him on the spot. And to me, this is one. So it's hard because it's like, God damn it, I love them all. It's like if I was to do a list right now, I feel like it wouldn't even be real. If I was to say, okay, I really love two.
Oh, let me ask you this. Let's do it this way. I threw it on the blue race in front of you. You can only watch one today. What's the first one you're going to go to?
I'm going to grab two.
All right. There you go.
I grab part two.
It doesn't say it's your favorite, but that's the one you're going to – I think that's an easy way of putting it. If you're given the choice of the films to watch, which one you're going to grab first?
Yeah. I like that as an example. No, that was a great little example to say because, yeah, that's the one it seems like I've watched the most and get excited about watching the most. So, yeah, two.
All right, so gun to his head, he picks two. Tyler, go ahead and rank the four because I know you have it in your brain.
Two is always going to be number one. Probably 3X because that was my gateway to Rocky. Because I was more like, I was all about wrestling and I felt wrestling was superior to boxing. But as a kid, when I was like, oh, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T in a Rocky movie? Okay. Because I just liked Stallone for Rambo and some of his other stuff. I just couldn't quite get into boxing. So Rocky 3 is my gateway. So I'd probably have to put that three or at number two. And then it's really kind of a toss up between the first and fourth one. Probably. Because there's so many great character moments in that first film. I mean,
gonna put four at the bottom, aren't you? I'm
but
feeling
then again
it.
Too, I tend to watch four. I've watched all four of those films so many times though. Like I really have. Like two I probably watched the most.
All right, fine. But, you know what? Enough tap dancing around this.
Hey, at least I'm giving you two and three and then four and one fight for the last two spots.
Here's mine. Solid. Four, two, three, one. Done.
Now, why do you put three towards the bottom? Let me ask you that then. Why do you put three down towards the bottom?
Well, I think it's in the same case. They're all great, and you kind of like, in your mind, you're like, well.
Strictly just a victim of circumstance. Not saying it's lacking in quality. Okay.
No, I've stressed that before. Like, the first film is fantastic. These first four films are awesome, but I'm saying gun to my head, and here's how I'm ranking them in terms of.
Which would you grab first? If I told you you had to watch one today, which one would you grab and watch?
Probably
first?
Rocky Four.
Rocky Four. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So it's 4-2-3-1.
All right. And hey, Eric Gaiman, thank you for joining us and see you next week.
you kind of called us
out.
I
like that. Damn it. Yeah.
I should have just hit the stop broadcast button.
You
right there.
That's perfect. You do it again.
I thought that was the point was to say stop the broadcast because Joe's got to go eat or something.
No, I always like.
How great would that be? Eric Amon just shows up and he's like, "Hey everyone!" I'm like, "Hey Eric, thanks for joining us. See you next week." I'm like, click.
Before Eric's by the like, way, before the you fuck? Take off, Joe, I got to run by you. What to talk about? Fans of Power. So I know you got to eat or something like that. But hang on, as soon as we get done with the broadcast.
Okay.
Speaking of which, Fans of Power tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Regular scheduled time.
Yeah. Link down below. Hit subscribe and hit the bell for that one as well. I left that part out, but I've been putting that link down there for you guys. All right.
Awesome.
Anyway, no ideas for next week. This happens a lot, I'm sure.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, you can go to the Beyond Retro Facebook page and also like my wall, Tyler's or Nathan's. And we're going to try to shoot some ideas, whatever you want, because next week, even though I'm not sure if it really is the one-year anniversary, but it is episode 52, and we try to do this once a week, every 1 week, you know, for, you know, straight for a year. So you could say next week, it's our one-year anniversary. So maybe if you guys have some topics, anything you want to discuss so we could try to involve you, we'll try to figure out something. But, yeah, it's kind of like it was a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Well, you know, I'd like if we could do that, permitting we have, you know, people that want to throw us enough questions and content, I think we should make it more of a fan-inspired episode. So, yeah, go to our Facebook pages, send us private messages, post on the Beyond Retro Facebook page because it's like a ghost town over there. You know, send us something here. Obviously, people listen to the podcast. You see the downloads and views and stuff like that. You know, just shoot us something. Our thoughts, what do we think of? Of I don't know, Big Trouble in Little China, or rank our top Russell films, or the worst
favorite TV
horror
shows
sequels of the
80s.
Yes, whatever. Just you know, it's all about you know
because we do that. If people aren't listening to us, we don't have a podcast. So I think, yeah, I think it's for a year anniversary. We make it about the fans. So I think it's what we should do. Yeah. We just want our fans to come through and not struggle. Like, well, we've got one question here, people. Well, we're going to try to make it last an hour and a half.
We'll just drag it out. Kind of do like how Kevin Smith has done on some of his Q&As. It's just one question about Bruce Willis, and it goes into an hour and
Dogs are excited. See? There you go.
Yeah, they're excited about next week.
Yeah.
They want to talk
Joe decides to go to the people and say, look, I ask you people, I want you to donate questions for my podcast that I co-host here. They'll come rolling in. You know, I'll do it, and it'll just be like, is this about He-Man?
Yes, Yanish, make sure you send us some, all of us. Yes. Anything you want
And you guys that listen to us over on Podbean or iTunes, make sure you find a way to contact us. Either go to the YouTube page and leave some comments or message us directly on Facebook. Whatever you got to do, send us your questions.
Yes.
Let us know that we're loved and appreciated, you know. It's, you know, just let us know that, you know, we're we mean something to you, that we're appreciated, that we're not doing this on fallen ears, you know.
Tyler needs an ego boost is basically
what I do. That's what I'm trying to say. To sit there and say, you know.
He can't go to the gym and just pump while he's sad. It just doesn't – it's not as effective.
No, unless I got Vince to call his Ivan Drago score.
Look at a possibility on that damn figure right there. It ain't breaking
I don't,
nothing.
I don't
all I hear is ball. Like trying to pull up Jason's balls there. What the hell was that all about? Hey, Joe, by the way, have you tested throwing it at the wall by chance?
Well, he was just saying he was thinking about throwing
it. Look how horrible his balls are, man. He's not snapping it, you know.
I'm going to do a drop test right here live on the floor. And really, if he breaks, he breaks. He's not going to. I just dropped him. And
he probably dropped him on the pillow.
No.
It sounded like he landed on carpet and not a hardwood floor.
Well, I don't want to scratch him, damn it. I don't want to scratch him on nothing. But
I thought they were dumb durable there, Joe.
Okay. All right. Well, can I drop him on my table? Would that count? I'd have to push some shit back.
Hold on. Then you'll lose contact or something like that. Just stay where you're at.
Oh, you're...
Perfect. See? Nothing. Didn't break or nothing. Wouldn't have been terrible. His leg was off. I'm like, hey, guys, he's fine. They're like, why didn't you pick him up? Oh, I don't want to. I'm going to leave
him. And Joe's like, this is great. I can turn this to a custom. And decides to customize his Jason and give him like a bionic leg or something like
that. I turned him into Uber Jason out of nowhere. It's like, hey, did you see the new Uber Funko Jason?
I'm just like, when was this released? I gotta get me one of those.
Oh, Jesus. All right, see you guys next week.
See you next week.